The Gemara yesterday was talking about whether or not the kaved when it was cooked to something else, whether or not it would aser the other items, the other piece of meat that it was in there. And the Gemara had said that they brought a raya that they once they brought forward to one of the Amorim a kanya bekufi v'chavachalne, which was the we said the trachea attached to the liver and the heart and the lungs, everything together, everything was all cooked together, and that was all permitted. So you see clearly from there that you're allowed to cook the kaved with other pieces of meat, and it's not going to aser. So ask the Gemara now, 5 lines down on Kuf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, Maskev La Rav Ashi, V'Yisei Ma'adur Seves, Rabbi Shmuel, Mizrokinya, V'Dilma Pikana Chutz L'Kedera Havim. Maybe it's a situation where the Pikana, the trachea, was above the Kedera, whereby nothing was coming inside the other meats. Rashi explains here, around 7 narrow lines down, V'Dilma Pikana Chutz L'Kedera Havim. The simponi hakaved shofrin derech kana, and all the blood from the kaved was coming out of the kana of the trachea, hakaved latel kana hagadol shereya, from the trachea of the lungs, v'yotze dam derech chalalo chutzekdera. All the blood was able to be extracted through that kana, and nothing got into the meat. Maybe that was the situation. That's why you were allowed to do it. But if the kana was below the kadera line, everything may have been usher. Inami, alternatively, the Gemara suggests maybe the situation, michlat havechalep, where they would first boil the water in such a way, or burn the water in such a way where nothing was else with some water or vinegar, nothing else was able to come out. It kind of like sealed everything inside the liver, and that was a process that it prevented the blood from coming out. And maybe that's why the kaved and everything else was permitted. But had it been a regular case of kaved cooked with other items of meat, einachanami, it would have been usur. So Gemara says, how do we know? Kihad the Rav Huna chaltele bechala, that Rav Huna would soak or cook his liver in vinegar, and then that would prevent the blood from ever coming out. Rav Nachman chaltele beroschen, he would use it, soak it in boiling water. So these are two different options in preventing the blood from the kaved from coming out. So maybe that was a situation that was permitted. So Gemara says, "V'savra Papa kamed Rav lemeimar." So Rav Papa felt he wanted to say in front of Rava, "Chala aser," that the vinegar that was used to seal the kaved, that vinegar itself is aser, because while that vinegar is sealing up the liver, it is extracting some of the blood, and that blood does get in the vinegar. The vinegar now should be aser. That was the initial thought of Rav Papa. But the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Rava responds back to Rav Papa, Ichal aser, if it's true that the vinegar in fact is aser because it absorbs some of the blood, Iunami aser. So then the liver, the kaved, should be aser as well, because Kihecha de Palet Hadar Bala. Because just like the kaved is able to extract some of the blood, it's also going to reabsorb the blood back from the vinegar. So if the vinegar is aser, so to the kaved should be aser. So the Gemara says, Rabbar Shaba Iklei Lebei Rav Nachman. So that was his name. He visited the house, the base medrash of the house of Rav Nachman. Aisulei Kav de Shlika. He brought a cooked piece of vinegar, a cooked piece of liver rather. V'lo'achel, and Rav Bar Shaba refused to eat it, even though this is the house of Rav Nachman, who's one of the biggest gedolim at the time. He refused to eat the liver that was served in the house of Rav Nachman. So they told Rav Nachman, Bar Bei Rav Dilagav Lo'achel. This Talmud Chacham, who's a guest inside your home, is refusing to eat what you serve him. Umani, who is the person? Rav Bar Shaba. That's what was his name. Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Gamu L'Shaba, you should stuff it down his throat, force him to eat it, to prove to him that Rav Nachman felt that it was permitted to eat kaved served in such a way. So Gemara says the truth is really a ketanai. It's really a machlokas tanaim. This machlokas between Rav Nachman or Rav Bar Shaba, whether or not you could eat the kaved or not in such a way, is a machlokas. The Gemara explains machlokas tanaim that Rabbi Eliezer Omer hakaved oseres ve'inu ne'aseres. Although the kaved could aser other things, if it's cooked with other items, it's going to have the blood imparting its taste and the blood itself even going into the other items, but the kaved itself remains mutter einu ne'aseres. That's opinion one. Mipnei paletes ve'inu balas, the kaved able to extract the blood but doesn't absorb the blood. But the halacha, just to be clear, by the way, the kaved, so long as the blood has not been extracted from the item, the kaved allowed. It's only if the blood had been removed, now it's a shechaloshem dam, and it goes back inside the kaved, then the kaved would be aser. So here the assumption is, as we've been saying, when something's going only one direction, it can either only discharge or absorb. If it's busy being polite, it's discharging, it can't at the same time absorb. So the Tanakhama here holds, Rabbi Eliezer holds, that since the kaved is being poletes, the blood, it doesn't absorb it, and the kaved is therefore mutter. But Rabbi Yishmael in the Brisa says, who's a Benosha, Rabbi Yochanan broke Omer, Mitsubeles Oseris Vinaseris. If a person had spiced, had seasoned the liver in such a way, so then it would, the ability of the Mitsubeles is able to soften it, so the blood is able to be extracted, but it also gets reabsorbed. So it also, not only does the Kaved Oseris, but it also becomes an Eseris. And Shaluka, if it was also cooked, so Shaluka is also Oseris Vinaseris. So we see the Machlokes, whether or not the Kaved itself becomes Aser or does not become Aser. Okay, the Gemara now says further that Rabba by Rav Huna, Ikle Lebe Rabba by Rav Nachman. So Rabba, who was the son of Rav Huna, was visiting the house of Rabba, who is the son of Rav Nachman. I assume the same Rav Nachman from the previous story. So I see Lakame Tlas Save Tache. So they brought in front of Rabba three amounts of bread that was covered in some type of fat or oil. So Amar Lahu Mihavi Adisa Dasina. So he said to them, so Rabba was very surprised. Do you know that I was coming, that you brought so much dough, you're preparing for me dough, the guest, so much food? Who told you I was coming to you? I would just show up at your house. Amar Lai Mi'adifton Lan Mine Dichsiva Krasa L'Shabbos. So are you any more important than the Shabbos? It says Krasa L'Shabbos One. We prepared for Shabbos. This wasn't for you. Don't let this get to your head. We're preparing for Shabbos, a lot of food, and you happened to show up, so you got lucky. So Adahachi, so as the story was unfolding, Ashkachahu Kavda Dahavibe Simpona de Bliya Dama. So Rabba, again, who was the guest, found that there was a liver that had some of these arteries inside that was full of blood. So Amar Lahu, he says to his host, Amai Abdis Hachi, why did you make this? How could you prepare the liver with the veins and arteries of blood still remaining inside the covet? Amar Lahu, they said to him, Ela Heichi David, what should we do? What's your suggestion? Amar Lahu, he says to them, Kiru Shasi Va'ir, if you should rip it an up and down crisscross pattern, V'chituch Alatachas, and then cut open the bottom of it and roast it, so this way all the blood comes pouring out. That's the way the covet should be prepared. The Hani Mile Kavdan. The Gemara says this is only true when it comes to the liver. About Chala, when it comes to the spleen, Shumna Ba'amahu, it's only fat. That red that you see in the spleen is not really it's not really blood. It's some type of fat that looks like blood. It doesn't need this type of process of ripping it apart. Kiha de Shmuel, like Shmuel said, of delay tafshila de tachle biyoma David Milsa. That apparently they would prepare in the house of Shmuel a cooked spleen on the day he would undergo makis dam. And it doesn't describe there at all any way of cutting or ripping anything apart. You're able to eat it. Anything that looks red is actually part of the fat that's attached to the spleen. So Gemara now says Itmar. It was said that Gemara explains that kavda ilave bisra shari. So the liver that's above a regular piece of meat, so then that's permitted. I mean, what's going to happen is you have a spit here, a little skewer of some sort, and there's a liver on top of it, and then below that you have a piece of meat. So that that din is permitted. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says the chituch l'tachas chituch l'mata kishenasnu b'tanur l'tzalos kedei shiyazuv hadam v'yatza. So you have the liver on top, and you want to roast it. This way all the blood comes pouring out. So the blood, even though the blood is pouring down onto a meat that's below it, it's permitted. Why? Because dama mishrak sharik. Because the blood slides right off the meat below it into the fire. Because the fire is so hot, so even though it's dripping down on it, it never absorbs into the meat below it. It goes all the way down to the fire, and that meat that's below is permitted. If you have chalal the ilave bisra aser, let's say there's the udder that's above a piece of meat that's being cooked in a on a spit of some sort, and the milk and bas b'chalav is coming out of the udder, so then that meat below is actually going to be aser. My taima, because chalav saruchei misrach, because milk doesn't just flow off easily like the blood does, it actually becomes attached. It's, I don't know, it's like the sugar in the milk, and perhaps it gets sticky and gets stuck on it, whatever the reason is, it somehow gets stuck to the meat below it, and now that meat below is going to be basar b'chalav.
True. He's roasting on top of fire, right?
Exactly. You're roasting on a spit, and the top is either the kaved or the chal, and below it's a regular piece of meat, so there's a difference between the blood flowing down versus the milk flowing down. So Rav Dimi min Harda Masi Ipcha, he thought the opposite was actually true. Chala ilave bisra shari. If the chal is on top, the udder is on top, the meat below is actually permitted. My taima chal shchuta dirabanan. When it comes to chal shchuta, we haven't learned the halachas. You have chal shchuta or not, but chal shchuta, milk of a shechted animal that you hadn't been extracted from the animal, so that milk is only a din of a derabanan. It's not until it comes out into this world, until it's milked, does it have a chaloshem chalv. So this is not really chalv derais, it's only midirabanan, and therefore there's room to be makel. However, kav de ilave bisra is aser because dam deraisa. Eating dam is a din deraisa, so therefore we're more machmir about the blood below. So one position is about how it works b'metzias, whether it clings to the milk or it falls off. And the other one's approach is about whether being a deraisa versus a dirabanan. Gemara now says, Darish Maremar made the following drasha. Hilchasa he paskin that's follows. Bain kavda, bain chala, whether it's the liver, whether it's the udder, tute bisra shari. That which is below is permitted. Even though there's a meat below it, it's permitted. Ilave basar. But if it's above, that's all if it's below the basar. Tuse basara shari. If it's below the meat, it's permitted because the milk flows down, the blood flows down, but the meat we're concerned with is on top of them, there's no chashash at all. But if it's ilave bisra, if either the liver or the udder is positioned above the meat, then dieved in, so then b'dieved one is allowed to have them. There's what to rely on. In each Shemad Amar, there's what to rely on, but l'chachila lo. One l'chachila should not position the udder or the covered above meat, but had one done this, it's acceptable b'dieved.
So it would seem that under it would be the chachila.
If you place the udder, or, yeah, that's for sure, yeah.
If you put the udder at the bottom, then correct. The chachila, you
exactly. So then the Gemara says, "Rav Ashi ikla lebe Rami bar Rav Abba chamua chazi lebre Rami bar Abba." The he saw that Rami bar Abba was doing as follows, going with Amud Beis now. That Shapir kavda ilave bisra. That he put the kaved the liver on top of me. And Amar kama yar hamir ban. It's what about Gaiva? Such a rabbanan is a Amer, the Amer, rabbanan, the Eved, lechachila mi Amer. Granted, it's a bit the Eved, you could eat such meat below it. But lechachila, to put it in such a way, we don't do that. And therefore, it was incorrect what he was trying to accomplish. So then the Gemara says, V'ika bei dugi. If a person has bei dugi, which is placed underneath the spit, what does that mean? So Rashi says, this bei dugi, Rashi in the top line says, Shenosin kli. You put a little container below to catch all the fat in a way they catch from the geese or other type of bird, some poultry, they catch all the fat dripping below. Well, a person does this, he places this type of beidugi, this kli, underneath the spit to collect all the fat. And so now you have bisra, ilavei, kavda, nami asr. So now, even if the meat is above the kaved, even though normally we said the meat above the kaved is mutter, in this situation it's going to be aser, because since the blood gets caught in this beidugi, so then you end up eating the beidugi, it's fat to eat, not to collect the fat to remove it, they used to eat the fat. So now the blood is being absorbed in the fat below, then that fat would be aser because there's blood collecting it below. So the Gemara says, Maishna midama debisra. Why is this different from a regular case of blood of ordinary meat? Meaning, why is beidugi acceptable? If I roast my goose and I fat below, isn't there a chashash that the blood is dripping into the beidugi? I eat that fat. So now I have kaved on top. So there's more blood about the kaved. But in the end of the day, both cases have blood. So it should be aser even without talking about a kaved. Even a regular beidugi that's catching the fat also catch blood. That should also be aser. So the Gemara says, Dama de bisra shachan, dama de kavde kafe. The difference in the blood of ordinary meat versus the blood of a kaved. The blood of a regular piece of meat, dama de bisra, is shachan. What does shachan mean? So Rashi explains three narrow lines down. Mishani dama de bisra shachan. Yored l'shuli akli. It goes off to the side of the vessel. V'ashuman tzaf l'mala. And the fat rises to the top. U'manichan l'toch akli. Mare adamnu es b'shibushulam. So it has some red type of, it looks a little bit red. But apparently the fat floats to the top and the blood goes to the side or the bottom, and you're not really eating blood. The two of them separate. When it comes to dama de kavda kafe, it actually floats to the top, in which case it mixes together with the fat, and therefore you can't separate the fat from the blood of the kafe. That's the difference. That's what it says, yeah. I don't know the mitzvahs. That much I can't tell you. So then the Gemara says as follows. Get into not bar natsug. This is very halach l'maisa. A lot of these we're not going to discuss halach l'maisa, but these are very important principles in understanding various cases that come up. Gemara says around five lines down from the top. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, a sakin she shachid ba Aser lachtach bo roseach. A person cannot, knife that was used to shecht an animal, it's also to use for something else. Why? Look at Reb, because it touched the Beis HaShechita. It cut the cow's head off, and that area of the Beis HaShechita is considered boiling, it's roseach, so now the knife absorbed blood. The only way something, a kli, is able to absorb anything usser, if there's an element of heat. So the Beis HaShechita is roseach, is boiling, so now it's absorbed in the knife and you can't use it. So Rashi says, you can't use it for anything hot. Look at Rashi writes around 10 arrow lines down. Sakin sheshachet ba, aidi, the Beis HaShechita roseach, bolea sakin min adam. So since that's considered boiling, that neck, so now the sakin absorbs blood. V'asalachtoch ba roseach, you can't use this now to cut another piece of hot meat or hot something else, mipnei shechozer polei ba. So this is very important that you need heat to absorb, to transfer taste. So when you shech the animal, this knife now is blood in it, embedded in it, because the heat of the neck. Now if I want to cut something else that's hot, so now that heat of the meat is going to extract the blood from the knife, and now that's going to be usher. Someone just the other day actually asked me a quick question. He said, someone was cutting, I don't know, vegetables, and cut their finger accidentally, and there's blood there. He wanted to know whether or not the knife is chafed now because of this Gemara. I said, no, this Gemara is talking about only the Beis HaShechita, where it's roseach, where it's boiling, but a person's finger is not boiling. You just wash it off with cold water, and then it's fine.
Beis HaShechita is mamish.
I don't know the real actual temperature of it, but the Gemara assumes it's considered roseach.
But the other roseach, the second roseach, is really roseach?
Yeah, really roseach. Really roseach. Really roseach. Yeah.
Yeah. 100 yeah. degrees Celsius.
Yeah. Whatever the definition of it. Yeah. Yeah.
And then 24 hours later, you shove something
out. The Ein Ben Yomah wouldn't be a problem. We wouldn't do that, but B'dieved, it would be fine. So then the Gemara says, if it's tzonin, however, if you want to use this shechta knife to cut something that's tzonin, something that's cold, so then amrilei bay hadacha, amrilei lo bay hadacha, you need to wash it or not. Something you don't even have to wash it, meaning wash it, what? Wash the food, Rashi says. So you could cut it, something else, but machlok is whether or not it has the ability to put some type of dirt in the some type of blood in the food that you're cutting when it's cold. Okay, the Gemara now says Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Ka'ara Shemalach Babasar Aser Lecha Baroseach. If you have a plate that you were salting some type of meat, so now that plate cannot be used to eat something else that's hot, because now if I salted something Maliach Harayu Kroseach. Salting has the same effect as boiling. So now I salted my meat on my plate, and all the salt extracted the blood and is busy boiling. And so now the blood is embedded, the taste is embedded in my plate. And now if I take another hot piece of meat and put it on the plate, that heat's going to extract the blood into my meat and it's going to aser the meat. So again, a ka'ara shemalach babasar, aser lecha barosech. You can't use it for hot food. This is Shmuel Lashitaso. Damar Shmuel Meliach Harehu Kiroseach. Salting has the same qualities as boiling. And similarly, he writes, Kavash Harehu Kimavushal. There comes a person pickling something, soaking something, that also has the same din as cooking, the same effect. Even though both Meliach and Kavash is not, there's no heat, it does have the same quality as heat. This time, yeah. So I think Gemara says, Ki Asa Rabin Amar Rabbi Yochanan Meliach Eino Kiroseach V'Kavash Eino Kimavushal. Rav Yochanan felt not that way. He thought Meliach and Kavash does not have the same qualities as boiling and as cooking. So Amar Bai says, Had the Rabin Lessa? That's not true. Rabin is incorrect. The Ahu Pincha. What's a Pincha? Rashi explains Pincha is a type of earthenware pot, or earthenware plate of some sort. And there's no way earthenware cannot be kashered in any way. So the Ahu Pincha, there's a certain earthenware plate. That's Rabbi Ami's house would use to salt the meat. The Tavra, and they broke it. So why did they break it? Gemara says, Rabbi Ami Talmud Rabbi Yochanan. He was a student of Rabbi Yochanan. In my time of Tavra, why did he break it? Because he understood, he had the Mesorah from Rabbi Yochanan, that Meliach is Kiroseach, meaning even though earlier Rabin reported in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Meliach ain't a Kiroseach, where Rabbi Ami, who was a true Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, paskin that after you salt meat on a piece of earthenware pot, there's nowhere to kash anymore, so you can't use it for other hot pieces of meat, so you just broke it. Why? Because when something is salted, it has the din of Roseach, and now the earthenware has blood embedded in its walls forever. Gemara now says halfway down the narrow lines now, Yosef Rav Kahana Achud Rav Yehuda. Rav Kahana, who is the brother of Rav Yehuda, Kame de Rav Huna, Yosef the Kamar Kara, Shemalach Ba Basar, a plate that was used to salt meat, Aser Lecha Ba Roseach. You can't eat hot food on that plate because now, since there's blood in the plate, because it was used for salting, and if I put a hot piece of meat on that plate, it's going to extract and absorb the blood from the plate. But if it's known, if I'm using a radish, which is something very sharp, so shechatchu b'sakin is mutter l'ochla b'kutach, so something different now. If I, let's say, take a radish and I cut it with a knife, I'm actually allowed to eat it with some type of milk. Kutach, the Gemara in Pesachim talks about some type of mixture of flour or wheat and milk of some sort. So now this case is that the stone was cut with a fleshik knife. So now I've got onions. Let's say onion I cut with a fleshik knife. So is that onion? Does that onion have a din of a fleshik and I can't eat it with kutach, or may I? So the Gemara says I'm allowed to, even though the onion was cut with a fleshik knife, I'm allowed to eat the milk products. Look at Rashi. Rashi says it's known shechatchu besakin the afagav de agav churfa. The tznon igrish balaz, even though the sharpness of the tznon of the radish or the onions in our more typical cases, hu bolea misham nunis hasakin, it's able to absorb the fat that's on the knife, hakarish alav, that's really clinging, that congealed on the knife. Have a high tznon nesinas tam rishon. So now the radish has some fleshiks, real shuman in the radish. Sharei bala iser, mamish shahave kibasar. So now it really has a din of basar. The Rashi explained it's mutal achlo liosat snon v'kudach sheyesh bo nesiove dechalva. I'm allowed to eat the radish even though it's cut with fleshik knife with a some dairy item. Can the farish time the kaven shabala minasham nunes the heterabala? Because there's a din. We'll see in the Gemara to explain why that is. So isn't that mean if I'm taking fleshik onion and eating with milk, isn't that basar b'chalav? So the Gemara explains what's the reason why this is permitted. My time. Amar Abai says, Hai heter bala, v'hai isur bala. The difference is, the radish that absorbs meat, there's nothing wrong with meat. Meat's hetera. It's not aser, it's mutter. So I'm absorbing davar mutter, and the kutach, I believe, is a hetera bala as well. So it's different levels of nesias tam. It's what's called not bar not. It's no sin tam, and another no sin tam, two levels of a heter, of a meat, to another meat, to two levels of as a davar heter, that's permitted. The case of dam, of the kara, the dam is davar iser. So when dam goes into the plate, and then it goes to get absorbed in another piece of item, that's not bar not. It's called nosin tam bar nosin tam de isura. So an iser has the ability to maintain its iser, even though it's a couple steps away from placing tam. But davar heter, when it goes from one level to another level, we ignore it because since there's no iser involved, it get the concept, the tam dissipates.
That's like having having dairy after part of food on a flesh pot, right?
Part of food placed in a flesh pot. Something like that. But you have to. So then let's try to focus on what the Gemara says because it itself is confusing. But that's the din. When it comes to again no sin tam bar no sin tam of a davar heter, there's no concern according to this stage of the Gemara. So then the Gemara says so Amalei Rava says ki bala hetera my have. So even though when the onion the radish absorbed meat at that moment the meat was mutter and the radish is mutter. Sof hai hetera de asile de esurhu. The esur kachal. In the end, it's going to be mixed with the kutach, which is milk, and that will be a davar iser. So who cares right now that's davar heter? Eventually it'll be davar iser if it's mixed together with milk. So that can't be the explanation. Ella Amar Rava says, no, hai efshir lemitame, v'hai lo efshir lemitame. One you're able to taste, one you're not able to taste. Meaning Rava says, when you want to have the radish that's cut with fleshiks to be mixed with milk, you first have to taste the radish and taste meat. If you taste meat, you can't mix it with kutach. If you taste it and there is no milk, meat rather, then you are allowed to place with the milk because that means there is no nesias tam. So you're able to test it out. That's what it's referring to. But have you tested it out and you tasted meat? Einech nami, it would be usur to have the radish be mixed with kutach. However, the dam, lo efshir l'metame, dam is a davar iser. You can't eat meat and there's no way to test it. That's why we said across the board, unequivocally, it's usur ever to use a plate that blood mixed with it that's absorbed in the plate because there's no way to test it whether the blood taste is still there. Amalei Rapapa says the Rava, ul'etame kfeila, arama. Arma, why don't you have, you could taste it. Ask a non-Jewish chef to taste the radish. Do you taste any fleishiks or not? It's not impossible to, you could taste it still. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, the blood, the case of the blood. Have the non-kosher chef taste the plate and see if there's any blood there. There's a way to figure out whether there's blood in the plate still. So Milo Tanan, there's a Mishnah tell us in the Perek Gita Nasha. Kedera Shabisha Babasar, if you have a pot that you cook meat in, Lo Yivasha Bachal, you shouldn't cook milk in the same pot. That we know. Vim Bashal Benosin Tam, if you cooked it, so then, if it's Nosin Tam, then it's Aser. Basha ba chuma, let's say you cook with it chuma, leivasha ba chulin, you shouldn't cook chulin in it because now you have chulin mixed with chuma. Vim bishul, but if you do, but no same time, you could taste it, see whether there's chuma in it or not. So the Gemara says, who's tasting the bas b'chav? Who's tasting the chuma? Amrinan bishma, I understand the chuma, tam le kohen, you have someone like Ezra, kohen, taste it. Do you taste the chuma that's there or not? That will tell us whether there's an asinus tam in the chulin or not. There's a way to taste it. El bas b'chav, man tarmle, who's going to taste the bas b'chav? If I have a chulin pot and some milk gets mixed in, depends whether there's an asinus tam or not, that will tell me whether it's usher. Well, who's tasting bas b'chav? Is it nisr their isa? And the Gemara says, Amrilan le tame kvela, have a non-kosher, non-Jewish chef taste it. Hachanami le tame kvela. So let the non-kosher chef taste the plate, whether there's blood gets going back into the meat, whether that will be usher. The Gemara says, Hachanami, you're correct, that's a very appropriate approach. Ki kamina de leka kvela. We're talking about where there is no available non-Jewish chef. Gemara now says, this is more similar to Ricky's case here. Itmar dogim sha'alu bekara. Let's say you have fish that goes in a plate. So what type of plate are we referring to? So look at Rashi, a few lines lower than where we are in the Gemara. Dogim sha'alu bekara. Minat sli kisha you roschin nasin latoch hakara shachla babasa. You took a hot piece of fish, you roasted it, you placed it on a plate. Now previously there was used for fleishik. So we're not talking about any issue of having basar and dogim together. No questions of sakana. That's not brought down the Gemara anywhere. We're talking about situations of can you have fish and will the fish have the din of fleishik? Not because of sakana. Whether it will make you fleishik, and then whether you can eat milk with that type of fish. So it's really a parv item with fleishik utensils and having it with milk. So the Gemara says back inside again, Itmar, dogim sha'alu bekara, that you have fish that has a fleishik on a fleishik plate now. So now what's the din of that fish? Rav amar asala achlim bekutach. That fish becomes fleishik, which means you cannot eat it with dairy items. That's asur because the basar is nesinas tam in the parv dogim. Shmuel Amar Mutter Lachlan Bekutach, he argues and says, you may. There is no Nesinas Tam in the fish. So the Gemara explains, Rav Amar Asur Nosin Tam Hu. He says, because it gives flavor and therefore it's Asur. Ushmuel Amar Mutter, it's Nosin Tam Bar Nosin Tam, which we call Not Bar Not. Nosin Tam Bar Nosin Tam. The Fleishik puts food, puts the Tam in the plate. That's not Nosin Tam 1. Then the plate puts it into the fish. That's Nosin Tam 2. It's all Dover Heter. There's no Isser involved here. So Not Bar Not. Bidavar hetera, that we ignore. There's no nesias hatam. It's too far away. It's like a klisheni. Like we have by a bishel, for example, just as a model. Something could be cooked in kli rishon, and klisheni already is too far. Machlokas, and certainly klishlishi can't cook anything. So too, nesias tam into the plate, into the fish, is already too far removed to have the taste anymore, and therefore it's mutter. Unless we're talking about a davar iser. If it's dam, then dam will still remain usher when it's not bar not. But a davar heter, such as the fleishiks, in taparv, that according to Shmuel is mutter. Gemara says, v'hod Rav, that which Rav says it's usher, in this case, lav beferish itmar. He never said this explicitly, el michlal itmar. It was implied, it was inferred from some case. The Rav ikle the beirav shimi bar chia bar brei, once he was visiting the house of bar shimi, and Chash Beinav, he was had some type of a headache, or his eye was bothering him. Avdulo Shaifa Bitsa. What did they make for him? They made some type of, Rashi explains here, Mishicha Misimimanim Bikara. They made it some type of herb mixture in a plate. And Basar Hachi afterwards, Ramile Bishula Begabe. They threw a piece of meat in afterwards, and then Tarmle Taima De Shaifa. He was able to still taste the spices in there. So Amar, you have time of kuli high. You put so many flavors in here. So we see that even though it went from the spices to the plate, and from the plate to the basar, that's not bar not, we still see the flavor is still there, even though it's not bar not, de tera. So Rav therefore assumed all cases of not bar not is going to be usher. So fleishiks into the plate, then into the fish should be usher. And the Gemara says, Velohi, that's not a good proof. Shani Halsam, Dinafish Merara Tve. That's a case where the herbs are so strong, so potent, they're so bitter. So sometimes there are exceptions where the flavor is able to remain when it goes not bar not. But in a classic case of cooking regular meat, that we assume, like Shmuel, not bar not is actually going to be mutter. Gemara says further now, Rabbi Elazar have a kam kame de Mar Shmuel. That one time Rabbi Elazar was standing in front of Mar Shmuel. Aish lekame dogim shalu b'kara v'kachal v'kutach. So they served him fleshik fish, if you will, with some dairy. So Yav lev lo achal. He gave it to him and he refused to eat it. Amar le Ravcha Yav lev achal v'at lo achal. We gave it to your Rebbe, but you refused to eat. You're better than your Rebbe. So also the comment, the Rav, they told Rav, Amalei Hader Bey Mar Mishmaisa, did you retract from your dinner? So Amalei Chaslei Lezari De Abba Bar Abba De Lisfeli Midi Velo Svirli. So what does the line mean here? So if you look at Rashi on the bottom here, Rashi's Abba Bar Abba, three lines up, he says, Avu De Shmuel Havei V'chasa Gadahaya. He was a big Gadol, Avu De Shmuel. There's some crazy stories about him in the Gemara. And De Lisfeli Midi De La Svirli V'lohayo Dvar Meolam. So what's this saying again? That that Shmuel, who's the son of Avud Shmuel, he was known as Avud Shmuel. The reason why he was called Avud Shmuel, by the way, even though he was a great person, it's a whole ma'aseh that Yerushalmi, Tosfos and Kedushin quotes, that the Avud Shmuel was traveling once, and he was in Medinas Hayam, and his wife became pregnant and had Shmuel. And everyone's like, well, your husband's overseas, how could that be? And Yerushalmi says he had Kvitzat Derech. He was able to say Shem Hashem, and he was able to jump from one place in Asia to Israel, whatever they were, and to make it clear that he was the father of Shmuel. People didn't believe this was true. They did such a nace. They called him, he was Avu de Shmuel, to attribute the him to be the father. So now what's going on here is, so this Maisa is that Shmuel refused to eat. And they said that, again, Chaslei Lezari de Abba Bar Abba, that Shmuel, who's the son of this great Gadol, Lisrei Le, Midiv Lo Asrir Le, you're going to feed him something that he thinks, that I think it's Asr, and I was never Choser on. In other words, it seems from this that he ended up saying it was Usr. Let me get that clear one more time. I think I'm missing something.
You know, it says that Rabbi Elazar served it to Shmuel, who ate it, and then they criticized Rabbi Elazar for not eating it when he served it to Shmuel.
So let's see again, one more time. Rabbi Elazar was standing in front of Shmuel once, and they brought before Shmuel some of this food, and then Shmuel offered it to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar didn't eat it. So then Shmuel said to him, your teacher, Rav, that you learned this din, ate it, and you don't eat it. And Rabbi Elazar said, he went to Rav and says, is it true? Did you retract? And you said, now it's mutter to have a fleshik fish with milk. And Rav said, again, chaslei lezari de Abba, per Abba de lisfili mide de los virle. So far be it from the child of Abba bar Abba to serve me something of which I do not hold, something I hold forbidden. And therefore we're going to conclude what? That therefore it's usher? That this never happened. Rashi, this might never happen.
Yes, the Rashi, he thought that he was.
So in the end of the day, what are we saying here?
That. But we're saying that it never happened.
Now take a look. It says here in the note. The obvious question is that if the incident never occurred, Shmuel was lying to Rabbi Elazar. So the Ritva answers that when Shmuel said that he served it to Rav and he ate it, he meant it as an exaggeration. Really, it's never happened. Rav never was served it. Rav never ate it. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar was following in his Rebbe's psak that it is Asr. And Shmuel paskin according to his shita that he thought it was mutter. That's what happened at the end of the day. Gemara now says, let's finish off the daf. Rav Huna, Rav Chia bar Ashi, Haba Yasre. The two great Amoraim were one sitting down. Chad b'hai gisa de Mabra de Surah. One was sitting on this side of the river. And Chad b'hai gisa de Mabra, the other side of the bridge. Lamar Aisile, Dagum Shalu Bakar Vacha Bakutach. One was served fleshik fish and ate it with milk. And Lamar Aisile, Tainim Vanavim Besocha Suda. One was given some figs and grapes during the meal. Vacha Vla Barach. And he ate it and he didn't say a blessing. He didn't say a bracha. So Ma Amar Lei L'Chavrei, one said to the other guy, Yasma Avin Rabcha Hachi, you orphan, did your teacher do this? You're following against the halacha to eat it with milk, this fleshik fish. Umar Amar Lei, that one said to the Chavrei, Yasma Avin Rabcha Hachi, you are also an orphan because your teacher didn't do this either. Your teacher would say bracha when having grapes and figs during a meal. So what happened? Anar Kishmuel Sfirli, I hold like Shmuel that allows you to have fleshik fish with kutach. Umar Malay, the Chavi, the other one responded back, Anak Rabbi Chia, Thrill, I like Rabbi Chia, the Tani Rabbi Chia, Paspoteris, Komina Michael, the Yain Poter, Komina Mashkin, that bread exempts all food from having an extra bracha, and wine exempts all drinks from requiring an extra bracha. All right, we'll stop here, everyone. Have a wonderful day.